Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
And now, covering the week's biggest topics in wrestling, pop culture, sports, and more, this is NAI Live. With Jason Maltoff, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
Well, that was fun.
I like the do. And yeah. I don't think we had to pay for the real one.
So no, we didn't. We didn't have to pay. What was the RZA?
Yeah. Is that Wu-Tang?
It's from Kill Bill, but it's like a knockoff version.
Yeah, I think the RZA did the original.
I was going to say, wow, go GZA for apparently sponsoring a roller derby team to write this song, which I think is really branching out for them.
Yeah.
And speaking of branching out, welcome, nerds of all kinds, to the all-new
Dorks
NAI Live. We're going to be talking about all sorts of fun things tonight. We are super-duper excited for what really is a new chapter in our history.
We also have a live studio audience.
Yeah!
So just like Jimmy Fallon, there will be tickets available.
Yeah. Dylan brought both his girlfriends.
Yeah, I know, right?
Over our house, and now we're live.
And in a couple of weeks, he's going to marry one of them.
His fiancé
and
his
I get to choose which one.
Ooh, have him marry Chip. It'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
It'll be like a season finale where we're like, oh, all right, well, this is finally the Dylan and Nicole wedding.
And then
he married Chip?
What?
Oh, how are they going to get out of this one?
Oh,
then the whole summer we wonder whether or not it was consummated.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, did they? You know what I mean? And we'll find out in the fall.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean? Whether or not those kids just went for it.
Yeah.
We are married, said Chip, the far 400th time while Dylan was asleep.
Yeah, right, of course.
Hoping for a nod.
Yeah, and
hey,
a wink.
Hey, pal.
All right. Yeah, so if you want to be a part of the NAI Live experience, email us at newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Right, or write us a letter. We will not read it. We are live on twitch.tv.
Yeah, you don't open mail.
Oh, God, nope. Nope, just sometimes I just get a notice. It's like, hey, you need to pay your bills. So I'm like, again? This envelope's yellow. That seems important.
Right.
You know what I mean? Oh, orange. Right. What happens if it's full-blown red? find out next
tripled.
Week. Find out next week when Chip kisses Dylan. We are on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV every single Wednesday night.
We
are going to be streaming every Thursday moving forward. We have a brand new Twitch. We're on Twitch. That will be not fun. We have a Switch. We're going to be talking about games we might be streaming on it. We'll be talking about all sorts of fun things throughout this episode. We will be talking about the fact that, if you can believe it, because I can't, Goldberg's coming back.
Yeah.
John Moxley's coming back.
I have thoughts.
All right. We have...
we'll get there.
Right. We have everybody a-buzzin' about not only the Avengers Endgame, but just sort of the Marvel Cinematic Universe to the point where we thought, hey, there's some pretty good storytelling in here. I bet if we look real deep.
Yeah.
And maybe there are some lessons that WWE can learn about constructing a universe, storytelling, and being appealing to a mass audience.
Right.
Which is what I think their goals are in general. So this is not like, it'd be cool if Seth Rollins had lasers. No, not the conversation.
No.
It's about the fact that they were able to grip a planet for 10 years with silliness.
Right.
Which is all wrestling is.
Yep.
Just in a different kind.
Different superheroes.
Exactly. And so we'll talk all about that as well. Gold Dust is moving on. Sonic the Hedgehog has come to life and is just as
weird.
Just as settling as I think we all expected him to be.
Yeah.
Definitely normal and not at all looking at to like an abomination unto God himself. We'll talk about the trailer to Sonic the Hedgehog and much, much more because as we expand our borders and have ourselves some fun,
yeah,
well said,
course.
We really appreciate you guys for joining us. If you want to jump all into the experience like we talked about on last week's show, we need you. We want this thing to keep going and growing. And the way that that works is you go to patreon.com/newageinsiders. There are still 5 shows a month. We'll still watch Raw with you. We'll still watch SmackDown with you. We'll still have every single day bonuses and special extra goofy awesome stuff. And it goes a long way because, like we said last week, it's not even about the $5, which is all it takes to sign up on Patreon, is $5. It's really just about the support. Jump all in. We want to get this thing energized. We want you to keep this going because you built this community with us, and we are going to make this thing special again. We're going to make NAI great again. We're going to make it special, and we got something awesome going on with all of you. Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. If you're like, hey, my $5 doesn't actually mean anything, I guarantee you, we know how many people are out there listening. There's like 100 of you who are out there being like, my $5 doesn't matter. What if you all go like, yeah, it does, and that makes a huge difference. And like I said, it's not about the $5 as much as just like, hey, look, subscriptions are going up. People are sharing the shows. Everything's going in the right direction, and we're going in the right direction, and we're thrilled to jump in together. If it's your first time joining us, if you're back because you were like, I heard these guys were trying some new stuff. Well, whether it's your first time, your third time, your 50th time, or whether you came over our house unannounced and unwelcomed like Chip, my name is Jason Malta.
Hi, I'm Liam Struggett.
And I'm Bill Neville.
And we are the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter, and please do, including during these Twitch streams.
We got to get an applause button in the studio for when we finish that little stick, yeah, everybody cheers.
All right, cool. There we go. Right, like she's she really is excellent. You know what I mean? Like if everyone was as fervently supportive, you are the best. My name is Jason Maltov.
I'm Liam Schreger.
And I'm Bill Neville.
Oh, we did that part. That's right.
We did
and
that.
We're on Twitter during these shows at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI. The website you can find everything we're doing is newageinsiders.com. The shows for the pops. Let the Chaos Begin, DC and Doc Talk. Shout out to James Stewart. I could have gone with James or Jimmy, and I went with Jim's. James Stewart and Mike Sarge Riley with Wrestling Inside the Ropes on 98.5, thesportshub.com. Awesome people. We're doing awesome stuff. We are the New Age Insiders and the premier place for fans of all kinds to connect, discuss, and to be heard. So let's go ahead and jump on in because, first and foremost, a cool announcement is this Thursday. So if you're listening live on Wednesday, it's tomorrow. If you're listening on your drive somewhere on Thursday, it's tonight. And if it's sometime on Friday, it's in the past. Hey, a theme about time, space, and travel. Pretty appropriate. We are going to be doing a complete Endgame breakdown. It's going to be its own, with this movie so big and so talked about, it's going to be its own show. So what time is that launching and premiering?
8 o'clock.
8 p.m.
We're going to release it early for Patreons. So if you want it tonight.
There you go. Yeah. If you're a Patreon, if you want to go to patreon.com/newageinsiders right now, you'll get it tonight. And we hugely appreciate that support. But we're going to have it's also not spoiler free.
It's a spoiler edition.
Spoiler ridden. It is for people. The movie's been out for about a week. By the time it comes out, it'll been out for about a week. And there are just so many people that now want to talk about it and are ready for like a spoiler thing that instead of going online and being dicks and ruining things, we made a show. We recorded the show. It's ready to go. It's going to be awesome. It's a spoiler laden edition. But if you want to hear people talk about Endgame, Thursday night, May 2nd, 8 o'clock, twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. We're super jazzed about that because everybody's super jazzed about Endgame. But to kind of bridge some gaps in our worlds, I think there were real lessons, and I mean this, that WWE, which claims from Vince McMahon himself talking to Ted Turner that they're not a wrestling company, they're an entertainment company.
Yeah.
Well, okay, because to me that opens kind of all these doors up. Because if you're a wrestling promotion and you go, hey, pal, that's not how things go, whatever, you'd be some purist traditional wrestling company,
right,
which you are not. You're the kind of company that would rather bring in Bob Barker than Terry Funk. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so in that vein, if you're going to be some sort of variety show, some sort of pop culture plug and play kind of thing, which you think you are, I think there were real lessons to be learned where creative people got together, made something quote-unquote silly,
right,
but so captivating, it swept the planet.
Oh, absolutely. I've talked about this on this show for years. The thing with Marvel and what WWE needs to learn is that TV has evolved, right? And this sticks true because the MCU is basically been one giant television show that instead of watching all, you know, every hour for like 12 hours, you know, for like a month and binge watching it on Netflix, you've watched it in a 2-hour interval every couple of months. And now we're here. Right. And so that's how WWE needs to think is that the audience wants more intricate storytelling. The general television watching audience no longer is Hulk Hogan doing it for America good enough. It's not. And so we need to talk about complex storytelling. And I think it all starts with a simple thing that WWE could learn is that flesh out your characters to be far more three-dimensional. Raw was boring this week when we talked about the contract signing.
Did you see what happened to? It is the lowest rated Raw in the history of the show. We've said that a million and one times at this point, but again, it is now the lowest rated Raw ever. Less than 2 million people watched the third hour.
You could also
real numbers.
You can also see in the crowd. I was watching it, and every single camera shot, there were pockets, and not one or two, like 10 to 12.
Like we're going to be positive and have a good time here.
Right.
But we're also going to be honest with you. Raw and SmackDown are bad shows.
They're bad shows.
Raw's a bad show. Raw, like, and I'm not talking about even. I'm not putting a filter of any variety on it.
Right.
Entertainment show, wrestling show,
just a bad show.
TV show Monday nights at 8 o'clock. It's not a good show.
AJ and Seth Rollins sat at a table to try and make me care as to why they're wrestling. And
I already do.
And
well, I already do.
But it's like you didn't tread any new ground. You're not. Like, nothing about your confrontation is interesting.
You're also another scenario where, I mean, like, look, I'm excited about AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins.
Sure.
Sincerely. But here comes my yeah, but, which is, you know how we got here? AJ won a match.
Yeah.
AJ won a tournament thing.
There's no character.
It's not a story.
It's not a story.
Can you imagine if Captain America and Thanos squared up because, like, well, Thanos won the moon tournament.
Yeah,
and Captain
right.
America won the Earth tournament, so you guys are just the best. Now fight. It's like, no, that's not interesting ever, and certainly not for a title, and certainly not with two guys of this caliber.
Well, this is the difference. You want to be UFC, but UFC blows, right? Because nobody cares about generic fight A versus generic fight B.
Right.
The only time things get interesting is when Habib is facing Conor McGregor, and Conor McGregor's throwing chairs at buses.
And Conor McGregor is Becky Lynch before Becky Lynch, and just being like, I'm really this big of an asshole. Can you believe it?
Right.
And everybody at home just goes, no, I can't. But I can't look
away. I want to watch Khabib, who I also think is an asshole, either get his ass kicked, or think Conor McGregor's an asshole, and I want to see Conor McGregor get his ass kicked.
Yeah.
But then each one are both being an asshole.
Right.
And but nobody cares.
It's like I've got Brock. Am I doing it right?
But like,
am I UFC now?
Daniel Cormier is the heavyweight champion, and he's just a nice guy, and he's a good fighter.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, I don't care about the next fight you're in.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? I'm not invested. And so WWE wants to position themselves that way, where it's like, no, you have to be
the very best.
The very best. No one ever was. You have to be just like Marvel, right? Where it's just like, yeah, AJ, you need to just start bringing up weird. Like, we have to reveal that AJ Styles, like, killed his dog or something.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? Like, obviously, figure it out. What, Chip?
Yeah, Chip is bad. All right, so here's the thing about, I think, wrestling in general, right?
Yes.
The WWE can take and wrestling can take and all that stuff, right? And so what do we like? Why is Marvel doing so much better than DC, right? There's a lot of reasons. To me, if you needed me to boil it down to one, it's because DC takes itself far too seriously while Marvel's out here having a good time.
Right.
Because the thing about this is that what we are talking about is, I've written a bunch of preposterous things where laser beams shoot out of their eyes over here.
Right.
You've written a bunch of preposterous things where laser beams shoot out of their eyes over there. Right. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, what if my characters were always sad? You know what I mean? Does that make them interesting? And Marvel goes, no, we're having fun, man. It's a comic book. We're having fun. And there should be emotion and character depth, don't get me wrong, but we're having the goal, I think, is to have a good time. Whereas DC's goal, I really sometimes think, is to make a brooding, bum-you-out movie.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But at its core, it's characters that you can connect with.
I agree with that.
Because the DC characters, and in this case, the WWE characters, you tell me who they are, you don't show me who they are.
John Moxley did a better job of Dean Ambrose in a minute and a half video
right.
than Dean Ambrose did in 6 years.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's just real.
You know, and you look at it, and it's like, okay, we talk about this all the time, and I'm going to bring this guy up, and he's not the problem, but this is the guy we bring up all the time, is Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Right? You can't use...
How did he get here? Go on.
You can't, you can't use the words big dog
Uh-oh.
Or yard.
Yeah.
Who is he?
Right.
And
can I ooh-ah?
No, you can ooh-ah, but what does right. that mean?
I get you completely.
You know, and so,
but here's the thing about this, because I think at the same time, you gotta, it's all or nothing, right? So I bring it back to Marvel, right? We're here to have a good time.
Right.
Pro wrestling is silly, right? It is. You are
right.
out, you are out with, I love it more than anything, and I respect everybody, so come on, right? But like, yeah, you're out there pretending to fight, and,
right.
and your name is like, your name starts with the, you know what I mean? Like yeah. you are, this is insane. Even your normal names, like even Seth Rollins, which sounds like a real name, just isn't yours.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
you know what I mean? So like the whole thing's stupid, silly. The whole thing is silly.
Yeah, no,
right?
No, you can use stupid.
You know what I mean? But we have a great time because at the same time there is, you know, Chris Pratt and Josh Brolin in a green screen room going pew, 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 pew.
Yeah,
and you know
right.
what I mean? And we think that's awesome too. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Right.
So it's just about everything is silly. But the point being is that wrestling sure is. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Wrestling sure is silly. And so if it's going to be silly,
right.
I want one of two things. Either the storytelling kind of stuff that I'm like really interested if you're going to tell me this is a TV show. If you're going to be like, oh, it's on after Law and Order and it's a TV show. Okay. Then give me some real, real stories. Or, and I mean this, then just be the 80s. Where it's just like, I'm me and you, steel cage. Rah! And you're just
right.
like, because that is every, I mean it. I'm not trying to
well,
be a dick. Every single time the average person, certainly over the age of 25, does an impression of pro wrestlers, they go, Mean Gene and me and you and rah. No one goes like, I am an aerial assassin come here from NXT to succeed on the main. Like, that will never be an impression of a wrestler. You know what I
right.
mean? And so like, if you are going to just try to have a good time here, look what Marvel did. Hulk smash. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, like, yeah, like, I'm dead serious. If, like, Bobby Lashley was covered in paint and feathers, he'd be super interesting. You know
right.
what I mean? But he's not.
But even still, we don't even need to go that way. The problem is that wrestling right now has taken itself and the wrestlers themselves take it too seriously. Right?
Absolutely.
They're all, you watch an independent wrestling show, go to any one of them, right? Even they're not telling stories, right? Because they need to protect their gimmicks and their moves, but they don't have any characters either.
Yeah.
The most interesting one of, and everybody that follows Chaotic is going to crucify me for this, but you know what? Go fuck yourself. I don't care.
What?
One of the most interesting people of all time was Mark Sherman. Mark Sherman is a former Chaotic Wrestling wrestler, and that goof was just like, I'm going to be the silliest, dumbest bro on the
planet. His character was,
I'm
a big wrestling fan. Can you believe I made it to the ring?
Yeah, right?
That was the character.
And
I'm a huge wrestling nerd. Can you believe I made it?
And you're far more interesting than Joe Schmo, other generic wrestler that comes in and does a Canadian Destroyer.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like Chase Del Monte is another one where it's like that guy has so much character and personality that if you're going to go to a Chaotic show, that's a guy that you immediately remember.
Well, remember when Cody Rhodes was on this show and he said, I've never once been in a locker room and heard somebody, let alone multiple guys, bragging about how good their ring work is.
Yeah.
Never. These never. Cody Rhodes said that, I think it's like 2 years ago now, but I'm sure not much has changed, where he's never been in a locker room where guys have been like, yeah, I am the best chain wrestler here.
Right.
I am a mat technician. That is who I am. Like, never. He's never heard that. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Right.
And he's been in the locker room with some of the best. So what it really is just like, God damn it, Steve, can you believe that 30,000 people showed up in Boston just to watch you exist?
Yeah,
you
right.
know what I mean? Before WrestleMania?
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what you are. It's like you're a draw. Because the reality is that Stone Cold Steve Austin put on a handful of, like, quote-unquote 2019 standard good wrestling matches ever.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter.
Because,
it didn't matter.
Right. Because at the end of the day, it's about a character. You cared about Stone Cold Steve Austin.
And right. And so the idea, you and I have talked about this a million times. I understand with their crazy schedule, right?
Yeah.
That why they're not like, all right, Rollins, go out there and bust your ass and do an indie palooza
right.
match. You're going to do 300 of them this year. But at the same time, it surprises me even more that they don't compensate for the balls-to-the-wall wrestlingness with over-the-top exuberant characters.
Right.
Because in the 80s, that was the formula. Look, right. Yeah, no one knows what they're doing here. Everybody knows basic slams and suplexes. No one's ever even seen a butterfly modified destroyer bomb.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So Hogan's just so goddamn magnetic, and Warrior's so much personality.
Right,
and Macho was the first guy that's like, what if you're both? What if you're really entertaining and a good wrestler? You know what I mean? Because before it was always Ricky Steamboat, who was a bowl of oatmeal, or Warrior, who was close to dangerous. You know what I mean? But the point I'm making here is wrestling shouldn't take itself so seriously, and it should be funner.
Look at what happens with AEW and being the Elite. Right? AEW has put on zero matches as a company. Right? They've done, like, the collective beforehand got together and did All In.
Yeah.
But Double or Nothing is their first promotion.
Yeah.
Or first show as a company.
Sure.
Right? And they've existed and built hype based purely on what we're talking about. Right? You care about Kenny Omega and the maniac that he is and the nonsense that he's spewing with the Fire Festival, or not whatever the alternate version is that he's been
the spewing. Firefly Funhouse?
But no, not the Firefly Funhouse. He's putting on basically the Fire Festival of Wrestling on being the Elite. And that's...
I hope not. It'll be a disaster.
Well, that's the joke.
Yeah, I know.
That's
right.
The joke.
Yeah.
But you look at it and it's captivating because this character is just so goddamn interesting. MJF, every single time that MJF is on being the Elite now, he is playing his character and he's just so goddamn captivating.
Yeah, right. And that's the thing, right? And you know why? Because he is so over the top. His character,
right.
If you don't know who MJF is, he's a spoiled rich kid, right? He's going to be one of AEW's better signings. And but you're right, because he just gets out there and he owns the room. And I've said this before. I've said this to you and to Bill off the air a bunch of times. Like, you know what guy I just didn't appreciate at the time? I was just never a big fan of his at the time.
Yeah.
Was The Rock. But now I go back and every single thing that gets posted on a 2-minute video on Twitter is hysterical.
Absolutely.
Whether he's kicking Michael Cole off screen or just delivering a promo and burying, you know, some guy. And it's just like, where did you go, funny guy with a microphone? Because wrestling used to just be, I don't know. I look at the 80s and the 90s when I feel like it was much more ubiquitously enjoyed.
Yeah.
And it just felt like the priority was fun. And now, for the life of me, I'm not even sure I could tell you what WWE's top priority is.
Yes, you're 100% right. And just to kind of bring it back to the central thing about what WWE can learn from Marvel Studios, Marvel Studios, it's 100% scripted. So you can have a good scripted show. The problem is that you don't have enough character depth to allow people to get invested in your characters to sink their teeth into stories. And if you change those three things, you're going to have a show that's much more genuinely liked.
A closing point that I'll make about what Marvel can teach WWE. Complexity to your characters, right? So Thanos, to me, and we'll talk about this much more on our Endgame show Thursday night at 8, twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. Thanos, to me, has become the greatest villain in cinematic history. It's more than Darth Vader. It's more than the Tyrannosaurus in Jurassic Park. It's more than whoever you got. The greatest villain in movie history, to me now, is Thanos. And an incredibly important factor in that line of thinking for me is that he had genuine motivation.
Right.
He is not I am not here. I am just such an evil guy. I want to kill everyone because I'm mean. You'll bow to me. He didn't even want the people that survived the snap to, like, serve him.
Yeah.
He just thought, this is the best thing. Just I'm actually the only sane one here. You're crazy. But, like, that is compelling. And to the point where, like, when Superman punched Steppenwolf into the sun, or, like, you watch, like, you know, The Departed and, you know, Matt Damon gets shot, you don't care, right? It's not like you watch Matt Damon get shot, right? You don't care, right? But when Thanos, like, you care about what happens to him. You know what I mean? Like, you care about, you know, the biggest comparison I'll make, this is my last point, I promise. Thanos is Rowdy Roddy Piper. I am rooting for the other guy, but I'm so glad you're part of this. Like, sincerely, you're so glad you're part of this. You know what I mean? And I just think that WWE can learn that, like, look, your villains can be multi-layered. They don't have to kick their friends in the balls when you don't expect it.
Yeah, right.
And your heroes can be flawed, but overall more good than bad. And I just, you know, there's so much to take away from Marvel's so silly and wrestling so silly, and you could learn so much from each other.
Right.
All right, yesterday, much to the chagrin of the internet community, a trailer was released for Sonic the Hedgehog featuring Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik. So at first glance, what was your guys' thoughts?
Holy crap. This is one of those, like, much like the Power
Rangers.
Hold
on, let me set the soundtrack to this.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, why was this the song? Also, shout out to Jen. She's listening live.
Much like when the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie got released, not the original one with the original cast, but the most recent one a couple years ago, I don't understand how you can look at something and miss the mark as bad as you did.
Okay.
Because I don't know if you know this, but there's like Sonic the Hedgehog is already a three-dimensional cartoon.
Yeah, right. He's got a backstory. Tons of stuff.
Right. And so, like, the placement in the real world, that's whatever, and whatever the story's going to be, whatever. The character model of Sonic is the most grotesque thing that I've ever seen in my entire life. You literally just had to take the one from Sonic Adventure and just put it in the movie.
So, but, you know, and even Sonic Adventure is just Sonic the Hedgehog, right? So, like, I think that that could be an easily a chief complaint is there's too much Coolio in my head right now. There's chief complaint is you're right. So it's like, okay, the goal is not to make a Sonic movie where it's just like this whole thing's, you know, a computer generated image, right? We want Sonic in real. We're going to make Detective Pikachu,
right?
But so
the 3D model of Sonic is my biggest problem.
Because the complaint about that to me would stem down to is, all right, so we needed to make it look like what if he existed in the real world? Well, hedgehogs are little things that weigh less than a pound and aren't blue and spiky and don't have red sneakers. So we got to throw out the idea of what about Sonic in the real world? Yeah, just make him look like Sonic.
Just make him look like the...
And if you need to do a thing where you make it look like ultra 3D and he has fur instead of just being ambiguously blue.
Yeah, sure.
No problem, of course.
Because you could because actually, if you look at the character model, the hair looks good. Like from like
but he's
a,
like weirdly long.
He is weirdly shaped.
Yeah,
he's
got a human mouth.
He's weird looking.
He thinks he's people.
Yeah, he thinks he's people, but he is weird looking. And it's just like guys.
Yeah,
right. Get it together.
They only got the shoes right, and I'm sure they got them wrong.
Right.
No, but the thing about this movie is like, so this just. I love Sonic the Hedgehog. My Sonic the Hedgehog Funko Pop came in the mail today.
Cool.
Fun enough, the timing. So I'm a big Sonic fan. It's one of my favorite game franchises up until a certain point. But this is one of those movies that to me I'm just sort of like, so I don't really know why this needs to exist at all. And have you seen, Bill might be able to find it in time or not, it doesn't matter. But there's a shot, the guy that's in, it's Cyclops, but the guy that's in this movie,
I couldn't remember his name and I was explaining to him. I was like, he's a handsome jerk.
Yeah, Cyclops.
Yeah.
Cyclops is that guy, right? And so he was in the movie Hop in 2011 where it's like, he's got the Easter Bunny and he follows the Easter Bunny around and they're in a wacky world together, right? With Easter Bunny's real. And that's the guy that's in this movie.
Yes.
And there's a picture online where they're stacked. And it's him in a car being like, can you believe I'm driving around with the Easter Bunny? And then him in a car being like, can you believe I'm driving around with Sonic the Hedgehog? And it's like, what? So not only does this weird-ass movie exist with that weird-ass Sonic, but it's not even original.
Yeah.
It's just going to be Cyclops being like, can you believe it?
The only thing that I think is going to redeem this movie is Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik.
See, that seems to be the most polarizing part because... Like, look, whatever Jim Carrey... So this, to me, reminds me a lot of Batman Forever.
Yeah, sure.
I really like what Jim Carrey's doing. But that ain't the Riddler.
Yeah.
So if you enjoy Jim Carrey being that weird and doing that impression and looking like that, great. But you're not Dr. Robotnik.
Yeah, right. I don't know. But that's the only redeeming thing I see about this movie. There's still time. Redo the whole Sonic thing.
It's also like half his size, too.
Wait, this will be still will wind up being better than the Super Mario Brothers live action
movie. It will be.
Which is just
point for Sonic. That is atrocious.
Tough to get through.
TV show.
You're looking at the world's biggest
Captain Lou Albano was in that. You hold your tongue, Bill Neville.
We watched it one night and it was tremendously
bad. Luigi, what are we going to do? Way over here in the living room for some reason. It's like a live action set. It's like, you know, what if Mario talked like this was in a goddamn play? And Luigi's like, Mario!
Mario, I don't know if you should get the door or not, but I can see past the door anyway because it's just a door frame and there ain't no walls.
That's exactly what happened.
And this is a TV show for some reason because it's 1988 and everybody's all coked up and don't know what nothing's about nothing.
Yeah.
Well, Luigi, go get the door frame. The doorbell that we don't have ain't ringing.
Maybe we'll do a live watch of the Super Mario Brothers television
show. Yeah, please do. Right? And it's just like,
can you believe he brought spaghetti?
What? I'm out of control now with my eyes bugging out, etc.
Right.
It'll still be better than that. What's next?
Last night, a cryptic video was released on the Dean Ambrose / John Moxley Twitter account, and featuring him breaking out of an asylum or a prison with barbed wire and blood. What does this all mean?
Oh, it means that Dean Ambrose is finally going to be interesting this time. No, I mean it. No, so the first thing this hit me because, like, the first thing was I even said it to Bill. I go, wow, it almost feels like WWE's doing this. Yeah. It's coming out so soon and all that stuff. But then, like, the more you think about it, it's like, this cannot possibly be WWE.
So, there is one big question that needs to be answered. Because does the contract have an extended 90-day no-compete after...
I would just say yes, because so, they all do, and he's a top guy.
It's right. Usually you only get a non-compete usually if they leave before the contract's up, and I believe he finished out his contract.
No, I don't believe that's correct. I believe that Adrian Neville finished his contract and even then had to wait the 90 days.
Yeah, because what was it? Was it Rick Rude?
Yeah, they're Rick trying Rude, to prevent the rank. It's the Rick Rude rule.
Right, because Rick Rude, his contract was up. He had signed with...
WCW,
and he was on both shows
exactly
at the same time.
Bret Hart was scared the life out of him because we might have even been able to prevent the screw job if Bret was just like, yeah, Bret, fine, you can be the champion, I guess, but you're not, and you can't even go there for 90 days, three months.
Right.
It was the idea that he could have been there the next day.
So this isn't, so that's the reason for the 90-day no-compete, but this would have been branded AEW. He would have announced that he was a part of StarCast.
Right. This
there's
because I don't know for sure whether or not he's just totally a free man or not.
Right.
I would just think not.
So the question is that if he his last match, the Shield Last Ride thing was like last Sunday.
Right.
So we're well within that 90 days if that's the case.
Oh no, he posted that video at midnight.
Yeah.
Like within the minute of his contract expiring, and that was the first time he had ever used that Twitter account.
Correct.
He had that Twitter account.
Yes, and he never used it. He had to have it.
His old bio used to say, they made me get a Twitter, here it is.
Yeah.
And he never once used it. He only has 500,000 followers because everybody was like, why bother?
Yeah, right. I'm not going to bother.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
Right. And so it's very interesting. It's going to be something that he's going to need now. You know?
So let's just talk about everything. Do you think this has anything to do with WWE at all?
So I think so. I think so. Because
blood, changing a name of a former WWE champion, you think? So here's the only way that's possible to me.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm done. And they go, what'll it take for you to stay?
Yep.
And he goes, you have to change everything. And they go, and they caved because AEW is now an actual, it's not a shadow. It's not a,
it's not a straw man.
It's not a hypothetical. Exactly. Right. It's not a straw man. It's real. And they go, all right, well, we accept that somewhere along the way, we accept that we're going to lose Zack Ryder. Okay.
Right.
That is going to happen.
Right. But we can't have WWE champion.
Exactly. And so that's the only way this happened. He goes, you change everything. Yep. We do it my way. But now we're talking about a guy that was allowed to use blood imagery. Change his name. This is so much different than I want a new coat and a fire alarm in my entrance.
You're absolutely right. But at the other side of that is, how many more historically bad Raws are you going to allow to happen before you let your characters take control, right?
A lot of them.
We're
going to do it a lot.
You know what I mean?
We're going to do it a lot.
And so, but
we're going to blame the post-Mania lull.
Oh, then Vince McMahon already came out. Vince McMahon already came out and said that, we're down because we have so many top stars out. Like, that already happened. So
who the hell's out?
Yeah, right. That's the point.
Who's out right now?
Nobody.
Cena? That can't count.
Right.
Yeah, well, this is Mania 32 season.
Cena's not even technically out because on the stupid promotional flyers that they're putting out wherever Money in the Bank is, John Cena, as the Doctor of Thuganomics, is in theory challenging Samoa Joe for the U.S. title.
Also, if John Cena right now took a private shuttle to the moon, he'd be just as close to the WWE title as he is right now.
Right.
So, who's out?
Right.
Top guys are out. Who the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
You just gave Raw an actual champion.
Yeah, right.
There, I think
he's referencing the live events. Like, a lot of them were, like, missing
events
and tickets weren't selling.
Oh, your show's bad.
It's a big scapegoat.
Your show's
bad. Yeah,
your show's bad. Of course. I think there are fans, some fans, if you were born after the year, like, 2007, you only think Brock Lesnar can be the Universal Champion, right? Yeah. Isn't this the first time Brock hasn't been the Universal Champion since, like, 2003?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I thought we had a fresh new beginning and the whole show was saved and Brock Lesnar was the problem.
No, there were pockets of people not at Raw.
You know what didn't have this bad of ratings? Brock Lesnar's Raw. Oh!
All five of them?
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, all five of them?
Just play that song. Well, he's unbelievable. Brock!
But that's... So,
you're unbrockleavable.
So I just don't know. Like, especially because if I'm Jon Moxley, right, I still got to make money, and I can make all of the money if I appear at StarCast.
Are you surprised that, like... So I'm surprised because when I heard that Dean Ambrose was doing this stuff, we talked about this on the air. I thought, like, okay, this is a guy that needs a break from wrestling. And if he were to go somewhere other than WWE, I can believe it, but I would imagine it'd be close to, if not a full year from now. Like, again, it just seemed like a guy that, who I don't know, but a guy that was burnt out and could use a break. And his wife is rich and he's rich and he could afford the break and he wants the break, right? And so that's what I thought. But then if you told me, like, no, he actually is planning on going somewhere else, I'd be like, wow, you know, maybe through the summer, who knows when, you know what I mean? But no, it's like, this dude wants you to know that his wrestling career is not skipping a beat.
Right. And then this is the other thing that I was talking to somebody about earlier, where it's like, okay, so let's say that this is real, right? So, cool. Neat, man. You're not going to join Being the Elite, right? Which is the only weekly programming AEW has. So I'm not going to see you unless they run an event, and that's not good.
When do they start TV? Forgive my ignorance. When does AEW start TV?
In the fall, I believe.
Right.
Okay.
And so it's like, okay, so...
You have to get through the whole spring and summer first.
I'm not going to see you until you're at Double or Nothing, maybe. Or you're going to go to Impact, and I got to watch you on Twitch... And that might,
you know,
that doesn't
weird?
Feel like the right answer either.
You know what's weird? And I don't think this is the case. It felt impacty.
Yeah.
The video,
right,
with him in the ring and like just the shot styles and stuff. And believe me, I am not sitting here predicting that Dean Ambrose went to the last place I expected. But it just felt impacty. And to our ignorance, or I guess, you know, it got us off the hook, we have no idea what an AEW vignette looks like. That
might have
been the first one.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
I know that that video was well produced and for something.
Correct.
That was not John Good making a digital resume to like post online and be like,
also,
book me at used to be Dean Ambrose at Gmail.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
That's not what that video was. You know what I mean? And so that was for somebody, for something. What do you think?
I still think it's WWE.
I don't. I would be flat. Like, One of the most surprising things they would have ever done in my mind would have been to take a former WWE champion, change his name. It's not even about the blood, like, oh, maybe we're doing the blood thing or, you know, breaking out of the asylum. The fact that they're like, yep, we are. We're going to change his name. We're
in a matter of 3 weeks.
And the fact that we went, yep, we like that. Yeah. WWE went, he's leaving. We cry. We break into your Facebook so you can watch him have his last, you know, house show match. And then within a week, we're just like, nope, just kidding. He's Jon Moxley now. We're not even playing this on Raw. We had him tweet it.
Right.
It can't be WWE. It can't.
Yeah.
It can't be. That is on Raw. If that is on Raw, not Dean Ambrose's first tweet as Jon Moxley. And people are like, it's WWE's Twitter account. He opened it. Yeah. He has a password to it. Like,
yeah, whatever.
Big Enzo Amore still tweets from the same one he always had.
It also got re-verified, too, because it's now at Jon Moxley. When you change the at, it gets unverified. So it got re-verified as Jon Moxley.
Right, which is easy to do if you're verified.
Right.
And so, I don't know. Like, I don't know, but, like, again, flabbergasted if WWE's like, yep, former WWE champion, guy we did all these memories with, please, you know, he's the Moxley experience now.
Yeah, right.
I just don't think that's what we're actually doing. But I don't know what they're doing, so we'll find out together. What do we got?
All right. So like the guy said, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV, we have a full spoiler-filled discussion regarding Avengers Endgame. But now if you guys want to talk into a little spoiler-free preview of that, let's go ahead and do that.
First of all, shout out to Kim. She's now a proud patron of the New Age Insider.
Shout out to Kim.
Hey.
Shout out.
This movie was fantastic. It's definitely worth seeing. You know, I think that if you just see Infinity War and Endgame, you're still going to enjoy it. So it does a great job of being accessible to everybody, even if you're not necessarily a comic book nerd or an MCU nerd.
Okay. What I think this movie did exceptionally well, and again, we'll talk about it in a very spoiled, laden environment, is this was a fantastic finale to four movies that were all mini finales to multiple movies. And what I mean by that is, if you're just sort of following the saga of the group going after these stones, then it's a very satisfying wrap-up to the story of the group going after the stones. If you are a Iron Man fan, it is incredibly satisfying if only your viewing experience was the Iron Man movie, the movies Iron Man was in, right? The Iron Man 1 through 3, his appearance in Civil War, his appearance Avengers. In the Avengers, right? It is a very satisfying conclusion to you as an Iron Man fan, as a Captain America fan, as a Incredible Hulk fan, right? It is incredibly gratifying individually while also being incredibly satisfying as a collective, which is incredibly difficult to do because it sounds like a good idea if we made a movie with the Power Rangers and the Ninja Turtles and Bugs Bunny and, you know, everything I like, right? But then you have to make the movie and it's going to be nonsense probably. Yeah. And what they did was they took dozens of characters, made you care about all of them almost equally, and give them independent story arcs that were easy to invest in with satisfying payoffs, as well as working in a group dynamic that didn't feel forced. Captain America stood on his own very well. Iron Man stood on his own very well. They gave you a lot to look forward to when their paths crossed. And I just think as a piece of cinema, of film,
right,
it's outstanding. As a comic book nerd, it's the best on-screen representation we'll ever get of these things we love so much. And there's just something for everybody. Go see it.
Yeah. That's right.
And yeah, again, shout out to Kim. You're awesome. Shout out to all the Patreons and everybody that signs up right now on patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. We'll send you that Endgame show early, a bunch of other rewards. You'll also join us right after this show. We're just taking a break right now, but when we wrap up, we will be going live for the Patreon edition. There's five shows a month, including the most fun one, which is Be Heard. That's going to be coming up sooner than later. We're super jazzed.
It's the beginning of the month.
Next week.
Yeah, buddy. So again, shout out to everybody that's signing up and being awesome, tremendously terrific people. We're going to plow through this list and keep on rolling as NAI Live continues. Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community. Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
Hey everybody, this is Rich Palladino, the voice of Chaotic Wrestling. I want to remind you to listen to the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network. You will hear stories from the 18-year history of Chaotic Wrestling, from the two guys that were there from day one, myself and former Chaotic Wrestling owner, Jamie J. Makowski. That is the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network.
Seriously, I don't even get to talk during this promo?
Shut up, Jamie.
You know, it's pretty crazy, but NAI Pod has now been downloaded on 6 continents and has thousands of weekly listeners.
Yeah, step it up, Antarctica.
Does that make us intercontinental champions?
Kinda. But it also means NAI Pod is a great way to advertise your business, brand, or website.
If you would like to advertise with the New Age Insiders, shoot us an email, newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Tap into a constantly growing audience, advertise with the New Age Insiders, and take your business to main event heights. Send your emails to newageinsiders@gmail.com. That's newageinsiders@gmail.com.
I'm retired business executive and seasoned dad, Jamie Jamikowski.
And I'm a rookie dad and local independent wrestler, Scotty Slade, and we're the hosts of For the Pops.
We're the only podcast on the NAI Pop Network that has a mix of sports, wrestling, and pop culture all in under an hour.
This is a place where two pops talk about the topics that interest us with a special guest in each episode.
And we have a splash of pop culture information to help us survive in our world of wives, kids, and coworkers.
And at the end of each episode, if that wasn't enough, Jamie tests both our guest and I on obscure pop culture facts in an exclusive segment called For the Pops Quiz.
So don't miss For the Pops with Scotty Slade and me, Jamie Jamikowski, only on the NAI Pop Network.
Let's get back to more of the New Age Insiders. Here's Jason Maltov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
Jesus.
It's happening again!
That was way too loud.
That was way too loud. So here's an interesting thing that I'll ask you. So the reason for this is because the prince wants it for his birthday party.
Well, that guy had one good idea finally once.
Okay.
Right. So we'll talk all about it.
Get it together.
It's the soundtrack to my world. So unexpected. Not expected, didn't expect it. Yeah. When you expect something, this wasn't it from me. Super not expected. That he would be working at all. So, you know, back on Earth, just kind of talking about this as for what it is. The fact that Bill Goldberg would be working at all, like, I thought. So, let me preface it like this way. These Saudi Arabia shows are clearly like alternate universe, don't matter things, right?
Right.
They don't have any impact seemingly on Raw or SmackDown.
Nope.
They just sort of like are the house show ramifications with WrestleMania theatrics.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So for me to say, like, can you believe that Goldberg is back? At least right now, because I know there's stuff to talk about here.
Right.
Because there are things that could happen that would constitute a full-fledged return. But just the idea that in a vacuum, it's like, can you believe Goldberg's going to work this incredible house show with Pyro? It's like, no, I am. I'm really, really surprised. I'm really surprised.
Yeah. Money's got to be good, huh?
Now you got to also be an adult human being and talk about the fact that a proud Jewish man,
right,
is going to go to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and perform. And I got a bunch of people today asking me, like, hey, man, I know that's your dude, but how do you feel about that? How I feel about that is this. It is not my job to be offended for anyone.
Right.
I am a Roman Catholic white guy. So for me to be like, this Jewish person should have this opinion and feel this way, and for me to be like, really, I think, to be honest with you, unless you're a Jewish person, you really don't have much, you know, I don't think you have 2 cents to throw in the pot. And even if you are, you're not that guy. You don't know the deal. And I know there's a lot of people out there that'd be like, oh, come on, man. If there was anybody else, you'd be crushing them. Remember when you crushed them for going last time? It's like, look, this whole event is yucky. This whole event is gross to me.
Right.
I don't like, Chip, Jesus Christ, move. If you're going to move, move. This whole event is
oh, what a dork.
I don't, yeah, well, just the worst. If you're, this whole event is bad. I don't like this whole vibe.
Right.
I don't like the event happening at all. So yeah, now adding Goldberg as this weird, literal, I mean, honest to goodness, head-scratching addition to
the
show.
So the thing that I find to be the most interesting about this, because we're just going to cut to the chase on this, they didn't allow Paul Heyman to go originally.
Right, that had to be like negotiated.
That had to be negotiated in. So it's so interesting that the prince wants Goldberg.
You know why? Because this is somebody that goes, I'm not racist. I got this black friend. You know what I mean? And so it's like, if you have a black friend, you don't get to be like, I can't possibly be a bigot. Come on, guys. Look at my black friend. You know what I mean?
And so it's the same thing.
So this is this guy being like, I don't even think it's about a PR thing about him being like, look, I do like Jewish people. Goldberg's here. I think this is just an example of like, hateful people tend to pick and choose what's convenient to hate. And so like with this guy, it's like, oh yeah, religiously and probably fundamentally, this guy has a problem with Jewish people, I'm guessing, because of a longstanding history. But I like Goldberg, so bring him, because again, ignorant people tend to pick and choose. It's like,
yeah, I guess you're right.
You'd be an idiot, ignorant, racist guy, but it's just like, oh, but I do enjoy this rap song or this black guy, or like, you know, back in the 50s, it was like, yeah, you can't have equal rights, but play that piano, Jimmy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And so that's what this is to me, where it's just like, oh yeah, no, I don't think this guy probably doesn't consider him his equal or whatever, but I do like those Spears.
Yeah.
So right. That's what this is. So
the interesting thing about it has to be the rumors that it's, you bring a guy like Goldberg in because the guy like Goldberg's going to come in and do something important, right? And the thing that's kind of been floating around is that Goldberg's the guy that's going to beat Kofi.
So let me go ahead and don't. there will be so many people. Like, there will be people that are happy that Goldberg would be the WWE champion and making some sort of unbelievably unexpected run, right? There will be some. But I am not naive enough. Like, I'm self-aware enough to know that although I mean, that dude is the wind beneath my wings, right? I gotcha. But, but, oh boy, would that be unpopular.
Yeah.
And that, to me, would be unpopular if he pinned almost anybody. But now you're talking about him beating Kofi, right? Who,
right.
I don't know if you saw it on the programming. It is, I got to admit, man, it is hilarious because I'm taking a mental victory lap every single time I see this programming. Every single person that told me half of The Rock counted as the first black WWF champion, you have been proven wrong every single week. This week on SmackDown, Michael Cole stood in the ring and said, Kofi, what you did a month ago was the biggest WrestleMania moment ever.
Yeah.
Why, Michael? Titles change hands at WrestleMania all the time. Why is this the biggest deal? It didn't even go on last, Michael. Why is this the biggest deal? Because what they won't say, because then everybody will go like, people that didn't know or didn't like process will like, holy shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it took you to 2019.
But you're the first black WWE champion, and we're all acknowledging it and talking about it. Don't give me the Rock thing anymore. Case closed.
Well, the Rock thing is 100% debunked when you go, it would be weird if the Rock was the Black Panther.
Exactly. So Dylan said that.
Yeah, Dylan said
that made the best point. He goes, if Dylan played Maui, if Dylan played Maui,
that'd be weird.
He'd be great though. But if The Rock played Maui,
right,
in a live action Moana, you'd be like, yeah, of course. If The Rock played the Black Panther, you'd be like, that just something not right about that. Something off. Sorry, you know what I mean. And you can tweet me whatever you want. That's how you feel too. And so Kofi Kingston's the first black WWE champion, and we're talking about it without saying the words. And you're gonna dust off Goldberg. Oh, it's just.
That's
no,
weird.
And as Goldberg's registered, you cannot take this away from me, number one fan.
Yeah.
Everything wrapped up so nice.
Yeah.
Everything wrapped up so nice. Your last match was really good. You could make a case your last match was your best. Yeah. You could make a case that you spent almost 20 years practicing for Brock. You know what I mean?
Well, everything. So the internet's rumors, right, are that.
And they're always true.
And they're always true. Is that Goldberg comes back to beat Kofi so that him and Brock can fight at SummerSlam. And it's like, oh, you know what this show definitely doesn't need? Man. Brock Lesnar to beat Bill Goldberg for the WWE Championship at SummerSlam.
And he would.
And he would.
And he'd beat
him. That's what we would do.
And he would beat him.
And it's like, that's what we don't need.
That is such a bad idea.
That's like,
like, in my head, I think it is hysterical that it's May 1st, 2019, and we're talking about this and not talking about it like for my birthday while you roll your eyes. Like,
right.
Oh, they might do this.
Yeah. And that's the problem, because in a show where you look around in that third hour of Raw and it's pockets of 20 tickets that people just aren't there. That building is empty.
Yeah. They're,
like, you're...
They've had historically low ratings. Like, I feel like they've done this, like, in the last 6 months, I feel like I've had the three low... They just keep getting worse.
It keeps getting worse.
And so, yeah, it speaks to, like, everything I'm saying. Like, I've told you before, they gotta, like, just kind of flashbang this thing and make it interesting and vibrant again, and I don't know how. But with all the love in my heart...
Bill Goldberg is not the answer.
That's not it. We were... The fact that that guy's run, which is gulp as scary as this is, paid off in early 2017.
Yeah.
Started in late 2016.
Yep.
The fact that that was the successful title wave that it became... is, you know, one of those, like, Doctor Strange saw 15 million scenarios where this didn't work out, and we got to live in the timeline where it did. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And so you're not going to be able to roll those, you know, dice again.
Well, also,
and you're not going to capture that magic again, and he's not going to be able to compete at that level. And I just, if he comes out and tags with Roman Reigns so they can both spear Baron Corbin and Leo Rush, so be it.
Oh, Leo Rush is getting booted because he keeps bringing his wife around.
Yeah, sure. So if it's got to be Baron Corbin and somebody else that eats two, you know, a spear from Corbin, from Reigns and Goldberg for an awesome moment, and he raises his hand and we're all terrific, great. No harm, no foul, because the show doesn't mean anything. No, Goldberg should not beat Kofi Kingston for the WWE title. I can't believe I have to say that out loud. I can't believe I have to say that. But no, of course he shouldn't. I don't know what Kofi Kingston's title reign should wind up looking like, but Goldberg shouldn't be in there.
Goldberg should wrestle Triple H in Saudi Arabia.
He should tag with Roman Reigns.
Sure, whatever.
And they should both spear a bad guy. Just no harm, no foul.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I can't believe he's coming back. And I'll watch every second of it, and it's the only. And I'll get giddy when he comes on Raw. He's gonna be on Raw probably.
SmackDown if he's gonna fight Kofi.
Oh dear, I'll finally watch SmackDown.
All right, Gold Dust or Dustin Rhodes has been making headlines the last couple weeks with his departure from WWE and his AEW signing, and the announcement that he'll be wrestling his brother at All In.
Fun.
Am I today years old when I realized that he's Gold Dust because his name is Dustin?
Yes.
Yeah, you're today years old.
You're just realizing that now?
Wow.
Yeah, you're today years old.
What a run.
Cool.
So this to me is both a positive and negative. You're an AEW fan, right? If you're somebody that's super jazzed about AEW, and there's lots of reasons to be jazzed about AEW, I think they're going to be a lot of fun, at least for their inception, right? I think from the jump, just the fact that they're different is going to be a lot of fun. But if you're an AEW fan, what I would tell you is there's reasons to be excited about this, and I think there's reasons to be almost a little like, okay, my eyes are starting to open about this, and here's why. The good side of it. The good side of it is because what you have is a WWE guy in a match you actually care about.
Yep.
Zack Ryder just coming to this company, which
who cares?
Is, right. Who cares? Who actually cares? Come on, who cares? Like, don't be like, I care. No, you don't. No, you don't. Not more than 10 other people. Work with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Don't just say you care.
Right,
just...
I like Zack Ryder. I'm sure you do, pal. Is he actually in your top 10? Of course he's not. And if he is, you're kind of weird. So when Goldust comes over here, and has a purpose. He's never had a one-on-one match with his brother, right? They've been the tag champs together, but now they finally get to do this, right? The closest we got was I think they were the only two guys in a Rumble once or something like that. And so that's cool. That's a reason to watch. I like Goldust. There's a reason that they're going to fight. This is cool, right?
Yeah.
My eyes wide open part of this is if 50-something-year-old Goldust coming to your company for draws is the plan with 48-year-old Chris Jericho, and I get, because we've done independent, we've worked the indies long enough to know that you need the names to fill the seats, so I understand it, but the idea that this company's going to be like, we are not going to be WCW, but we will welcome in Chris Jericho at the end and Goldust in the end and and potentially have just signed Dean Ambrose, I don't know.
So,
like, well, that's WCW-like.
So, well, here's the thing. The counter to that is it's the TNA model, like when TNA was good, not the Bischoff Hogan model that it took over and became, right? Because, you needed Jeff Hardy and Jeff Jarrett and Sting and Kurt Angle to get you over here, right? But I needed to introduce you to Beer Money and Austin Aries and AJ Styles
and
Samoa Joe. Yep. And so it's the same thing.
Yep.
Yeah, I need to have Goldust and I need to have Chris Jericho. And Kurt Angle is a perfect example of Dean Ambrose, if that's the case, where it's like, these two guys were on top. They're former WWE champions. And
Angle really kind of came on his prime, not his physical prime, but his careers.
And same thing with Dean Ambrose, if that's comparable too.
Yeah.
But I need you to care about MJF. I need you to care about
Hangman Page.
I need you to care about Neville. Right? Those are the guys that I want you to care about. Oh, and by the way, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks are here.
Yeah, right.
You know,
and Cody Rhodes.
And Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
You know, so you have a lot of people that, look at what Chris Jericho did for New Japan Everybody went and saw it. They're going to watch Double or Nothing for Chris Jericho.
Right.
And yeah, while you're here, please check out Hangman Page, because yeah. I swear he's really good.
And I do get that. I sincerely do. I just wonder with AEW, to me it's more systemic of like a big picture thing. Because right. like I know that their future is bright because like, you know, and this isn't like something he told us because you know we know him or anything, but you know, Flip's going to go there eventually, right?
Sure.
And Skrull's going to go there eventually, right?
And maybe so, like in 2 weeks.
Right. And so they are going to have an influx of talent for the next 18 to 36 months. I don't question that.
Yeah.
What I do question is the after that 2-3 year window. What do they look like then? What's the talent pool shifting to? What happens when the available people out there on the indie scene are not your, you now have to get them when you're like, sure, they will be stars, not established stars, because everybody's getting all plucked up. What happens when you might rely a little bit more on WWE's older guys on the way out, because now you gotta sign like, you know, 40-something-year-old AJ Styles at the very end. And that's, I just wonder, and we don't, I'm not burying them before they get started.
Yeah,
just,
I think you're looking too far ahead.
I just think star power sells. And my final like closing thoughts on AEW is this. The average person on earth doesn't watch wrestling.
Right.
So then you take a small number, and that's wrestling fans.
Right.
And then a even smaller number of them are actually invested in the independent scene.
Right.
And that's AEW's target. So it's just small. I'm just telling you it's small.
Well, the thing that you're neglecting in that argument is that the entire mindset of AEW is the change the world mentality, right?
Yeah.
And so the idea is that they understand that they're at the bottom of this mountain that is WWE. Right. And if they're going to climb to that heights, they have to change things. So I don't think that it's very much.
What does that mean, though? Beyond a very awesome thing, which is like health insurance and stuff, what does that mean when at the end of the day,
right,
health insurance is awesome and guaranteed contracts are awesome and rest is awesome and like, you know, basically being taken care of, it's fantastic. But I'm a guy at a bar. Why do I care about that and have you ask the bartender to put that on the TV? Why do I care about that? I don't know any of your people. And that's what's going to matter. And maybe right. in 2 years you do. Maybe you've actually that's created stars. Maybe. But like TNA didn't. Like an actual like average guy star. Meanwhile, right. John Cena is a star, is a human being, right. pop culture star.
Right, but the question is like.
And their ratings suck. Roman Reigns with WWE's machine just can't break through to that other side. What hope do they actually have?
The difference is that AEW's approach, at least for right now, is 100% character driven, whereas WWE's product is variety show driven. And
I don't mean to be a dick about this. I really don't mean to be a dick, I promise. It's just this strikes me in a way with the AAF, where it's like, oh, awesome, off-season football. Hey, they play a little different. This looks really cool. Look at that. The NFL Network picked them up. I like this. And they lasted like 8 games.
Yeah, and again, it all comes down to money management. You know what I mean? Like
stars. It comes down to stars.
Well, no, because the ratings were good. They couldn't pay them.
Yeah, but because they weren't getting a gate and the ratings weren't good enough.
Right. Well, you're also talking.
Because they don't have any stars.
Well, because they didn't bang out stadiums the first week. Whereas this is more of a long-term investment.
Right.
I think that you're killing them for not having John Cena
I'm not
going to happen.
You're right. No. I'm not killing them for that. I'm just saying that in wrestling, star power is 90% of it.
Right.
And I don't think they have it the way a lot of fans do think they do. I don't. Average guy goes, oh, neat Chris Jericho. That is a drying well.
Well, the other part, too, is that nobody cares about wrestling.
You're right.
From that same talent pool that you're talking about,
sure.
Those people, nobody cares about wrestling.
Okay.
And so
then what a time to start a promotion.
Well, so the difference is that AEW's approach, which I do think has been very successful up until this point, is we're going to get you invested in the people. where WWE just has been relying on.
But how do you do that?
So they've been doing it through their YouTube channel, and okay. and it's gaining. You know, it's gaining. Now the big thing is let's see what happens when it's on TV, because that's where the proof is, right? Is this a television show that people are going to watch? And that's going to be very indicative. But yeah, I'm not going to kill them.
I think that they are well managed and better and in better position than most companies that do this. But what I would just encourage people to remember is Ring of Honor was bought by Sinclair Broadcasting. Sinclair Broadcasting is the largest broadcasting company in the world. Right. So you can't be like, well, Ring of Honor never had their money. They have way more money than the guy that owns the Jaguars. always had the money. And you're like, okay, well, they didn't have the creative direction. You're right. But guess who is actually a great wrestling creative mind? Jeff Jarrett. And that guy could just never get it off the ground in several different tries. And so, yeah, maybe this is finally the combination of money and talent, and maybe that's what we've always needed.
Right.
But, like, I've heard this change the world stuff so many times, and you're going to tell the average wrestling fan, be like, I promise Adam Hangman Page is great. And people are going to be like, I bet, but, eh. I already see people in the chat being like, I'm not going to get their shows until I start seeing what they do.
Oh yeah.
So I mean I think that they can succeed, but I just think people that are like, get ready, WWE, you are so screwed.
Oh well, that's stupid.
I think you're way off base.
Yeah, sure.
So thanks to some incredible people and the Nintendo Corporation as well. There is a new Switch in this house. I already have two games. Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu. Thank you, everybody. And Mortal Kombat 11 came in the mail. Mortal Kombat! I love those games. I love Mortal Kombat and the games. I love them. Ba-da-ba. And very excited. And we're going to be doing streams, video game streams. We already tested it with Super Mario Odyssey. Bill and I gave that a test. It worked. Yep. People liked it. We're going to be doing it. We're going to be... So I have to ask you, because I just got a Switch. You're a Switch veteran.
Mm-hmm.
What are the games that I should be playing on this machine?
So Breath of the Wild is one of the best games that they have. Odyssey, obviously. I have Pokemon Let's Go. I absolutely love the remaster.
I got my Cascade badge.
Of Red and Blue. Yeah, and yellow. Then from there, there's a bunch of stuff online. You know, you have Switch Online, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. I never had any of the Super Smash Bros. I just never owned it. And so
those games are amazing.
Yeah, and so Ultimate's my first one, and I absolutely, absolutely love it. And then I purchased Final Fantasy VII, and I've been playing Fortnite on the Switch, and they're both very fun.
Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders is how you can jump into the fun, you know, join us later on this evening. And also we'll give you early access to a bunch of stuff, just like the endgame stream.
Yeah, you're going to get that right after this show is over.
It's incredible. And your support goes a long way. And it's just awesome to see like the buzz and the energy, like we said. So patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. If you're watching like you should be, twitch.tv/NewAgeInsiders TV live every Wednesday night. You can subscribe. That is amazing to us as well. If you have Amazon Prime, you can already subscribe to Twitch using Twitch Prime. And you don't pay a penny, which is incredible. And it means the world to us. And it's $5. We're asking for, you know, patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders, your $5, you're like, ah, does it matter? It does matter. And Kim's $5 matters, and Zach's $5 matters, and Nando's $5 matters, and it does. And we appreciate everybody that's signing up and being awesome.
All the $5 matters.
Sincerely, it is. Five, it really is incredible. Hey, Simon, what's going on? Simon's a patron. So, we are going to be, there's a poll up where you can vote as to what I'll stream first, but I'm definitely going to be doing Mario 3, so Colin will get off my ass. And I'll beat that game beginning to end because I've done it a million times, and I'll do it again. We'll play some awesome games, and it's good to know. The Switch is an incredible machine that I highly, highly recommend. Do we have anything else?
Yeah, the James Holzhauer won his 19th game in a row last night.
How can we not talk about James Holzhauer?
On Jeopardy, and last week surpassed $1 million mark in the shortest time ever. His closest encounter came against a Massachusetts man just last week, where he won by $18.
What was the guy?
Ken Jennings.
Ken Jennings.
Yeah.
The record?
Well, Ken Jennings won 2 point something in like 79 games, but this guy's already at like $1.5 million at 19 games.
Ken Jennings won the most games.
The most games, yes.
Consecutive games, though.
But this guy's on track to smash his money.
Yeah. Insidious Pie says, Hello Neighbor is really clever. I've heard that's a very good game. So here's my favorite part about all this, and I love trivia. We play trivia in this house all the time. I'm a big trivia fan. I like HQ. I highly recommend that app if you're just bored.
I love HQ.
Twice a day. Really, now four times a day if you also get HQ words.
And sports.
Yeah, there's just like these little puzzles, and they're really fun. And I really like trivia and brain teasers and like trying to remember stuff as I burn that part of my brain away on a daily basis, and I just enjoy that. And Jeopardy's an awesome game, and as I get older, I like appreciate like the Jeopardy routine. My favorite part about when things like this happen, and it started with Ken Jennings, and it's always the case, is watching Alex Trebek get intense in like the intensity levels of his frustration grows and grows to the point where by the end of the Ken Jennings run, you can see that he just like didn't like that guy.
Yeah,
because Alex Trebek, you can just tell, has a tremendous problem not being the star of that show. And so when the focal point of the show became, will Ken Jennings win? You could literally see just when Ken Jennings would get things right, like he'd be short with him. Like he wouldn't be as engaging with him. When Ken Jennings would get things wrong, he would like emphasize like, nope, not that one. You know what I mean? Like, haha, little man, I hate you. Get off my show.
And this guy's probably even more annoying for Alex Trebek because he's a quote unquote sports gambler is what he does.
Okay.
And this guy's just like betting the house on everything, like searching out the Daily Doubles, betting everything.
There was a guy.
He's winning like $100,000 a game.
There was a guy that was on about a year ago and they're playing the same way. And he was very successful. He only won like eight or nine in a row or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. But he was very successful and you could tell he was doing the same thing. He was looking for the Daily Doubles. He would like see the scores and like if he was even with like, if he could afford to lose it all and be even close to them, he's like, I'll just get the rest right, so it doesn't matter. Like he would always get the Daily Double and then always bet it all, always, because like I said, he'd be so far ahead that's like you only got $2,000, so if I go back to zero, I'll just beat you anyway. And that's just the strategy of the like these geniuses like figure out this board. And you obviously have to have a tremendous amount of general knowledge, and some
general
of it's just
knowledge.
Some of it's just you either know it or you don't. But yeah, my favorite part is definitely watching Trebek just like lose his mind over not being the star. And then, the very interesting strategy of like how to maximize your money on that show. Cause I didn't really think about the money. You just kind of think about getting the questions right. And like, yeah. And that'll be also interesting to see is what happens is Ken Jennings got the most games in a row. This guy looks like he's definitely on pace to get the most money, but can he do both?
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Because they're both interesting records. Like Ken Jennings won that. I feel like he was on Jeopardy for like 3 months or something.
Yeah, Ken Jennings won 74 games in a row and won just over $2.5 million.
And how many games in a row has this guy won?
So NASCAR in the chat says he won his 20th in a row tonight and already has over $1.5 million.
So he's going to beat the money if he keeps going. But now it's a matter of that's like 50 more games. That is still impressive. Like,
it is.
Because
they had to stop for a while.
Right, because even Ken Jennings, right, like you could see the question he lost on at the end because it's a YouTube viral video, just like watch the guy fucking not win. And he, like literally, it's just like the answer was like UPS and he put FedEx or something. It's just like it was one of those things where it's like, you know it or you don't.
Right.
Yeah. It's not one of those competitions where it's like, all right, what's the quadratic root of 9? Yeah. You know what I mean? You sit down with a pen and paper. It's like you either know it's FedEx or UPS or you don't. And it's just, it's a very impressive show because of your general knowledge and then, you know, just how to play the show.
Yeah.
So good for them. We really hope that you have enjoyed this new style to NAI Live. If you did, well, quite frankly, you can show your support. Patreon.com/New Age Insiders. Kim did. I know recently Zach did. We got a couple new people. With Dr. Stooge, shout out to you and all of our awesome Patreons. Patreon.com/New Age Insiders. We are going over there right now to keep the fun going and just keep on talking and having a good time.
Yeah, the people are going to get the in-game spoiler edition right now.
Oh, that's what they're going to get now. You get the in-game spoiler
the show.
Now. Ooh, that is worth it. So good.
And if you, for some odd reason, can't, go on to iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio. I don't think you can do it on Spotify. But 5 stars, comment. It doesn't matter what you comment. Just get this in front of more people.
Right, and share the show. Links, tell people. Like, hey, you know, it's as simple as a retweet. You know I post everything all the time. It's as simple as sharing. Patreon, Twitch, jump into the fun, and you're going to love the end game. My name's been Jason Maltz.
I'm Luke Sturgeon.
And I'm Bill Devil.
And in front of a live studio audience, we have been the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter, including during these broadcasts, Instagram, Facebook, iTunes, Spotify, Glork Norba, Google Play, all over the place, at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI. The website is newageinsiders.com. Twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV is our new home, and all together you have made us the premier place for fans from every universe to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.